Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
We're going to be in Big John, the Gospel of John this morning, and I'll give you a little thought out of here today with the help of the Lord. Thank you for being in church today. Amen. I mean that. I just don't say that out of reputation. I appreciate you being here today, and thank you for being faithful. John chapter number 1, let's stand in honor in reverence to the reading of God's Word. John chapter number 1 today. The Bible said in verse number 1 of John chapter number 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So the Word was with God, the Word was God, and everything was made by the Word, because the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Did you catch all that? Now look at verse 14. The Bible said this, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Boy, I like the ending part of that. The Word was full of grace and truth. Well, what is the Word? Well, the Word's God. Are you with me? You said, preacher, that's hard. No, it's real simple to understand. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And it goes on to say that nothing exists without the Word. Let me tell you the reason why. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost is a triune Godhead. It's one in three and three in one. You say, explain it to me. Just believe it and you'll be a whole lot further ahead in the ball game. That's what the Bible says about it. I want to preach on the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, or otherwise known as the incarnation of Christ. Father, I love you today. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us over the next little bit. God, I pray, Lord, that you would use us as we preach today. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, God, to preach your word and to lift the word up high. God, I pray that if there's anybody here today lost, that you would save them today. I pray, God, that you would help them not to walk out these doors not knowing you. I pray, God, if there's any out of your will, bring them back close to you, and we'll give you the glory. Help Brother Aaron, help Brother Gavin, Lord, as they're teaching to the kids this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. We know this is Christmas Sunday, the Sunday right before Christmas, in a time that we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever you study the Bible this morning, you'll find that the book of Matthew and the book of Luke give a very detailed account to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They deal with the virgin birth. They deal with where He's going to be born at. And what is known as the Christmas story deals with that. You'll find that in studying the Word of God, the Gospel of Mark really doesn't say nothing about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of commentators, a lot of preachers, and even a lot of people today believe that the only two accounts of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is Matthew and Luke. However, I disagree with them today. I believe that John also gives us an account of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that I've read that to you in verse number 14 of chapter number 1, because the Bible said this, and the Word was made flesh. Well, according to chapter number 1, that Word was with God, and that Word was God. So verse number 14, the Word is simply the Lord Jesus Christ today. John does give us account of the birth of the Lord Jesus. The accounts in Matthew and Luke give much attention to the details of the physical birth of Christ to Mary in Bethlehem, while John focuses chiefly upon spiritual details involved in the birth of Christ. Matthew and Luke emphasizes the humanity more than the deity of Christ, while John emphasizes the deity more than the humanity. And can I just say this to you today? Deity, what is that? The deity of the Lord Jesus Christ is the incarnation of Christ. In other words, it is that Jesus was as much God as God is God. You say, who was Jesus? Jesus was God. You say, well, I think Jesus' beginning was here at Christmas Day. No, Jesus never had a beginning, and Jesus will never have an end. The deity of Jesus Christ is that Jesus was as much God as God is God. But can I just flip the story real quick? He was as much man as man is man also. It was God robed in flesh when he came here to earth. Think about this in the text, which mentions both natures of Christ in his coming to the earth the first time. The Word expresses the divine nature in the coming, and the flesh expresses the human nature in his coming. In Scripture, the Word speaks of the Son of God, and the flesh speaks of the Son of Man. Isaiah chapter number 9 said this in verse number 6, "For unto us a child is born," but watch this, "unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." You say, "Preacher, what are you saying?" Well, think about this. The flesh speaks of the Son of Man. In Isaiah 9, the Word corresponds to the Son is giving, and the flesh corresponds to a child is born. What I'm simply trying to get you to understand is this today, that Jesus was not just some ordinary little baby that was born in Bethlehem. Jesus was not just some baby that Mary carried up for 9 months. Matter of fact, Mary did carry a baby for 9 months, but Mary had never been with a man. She conceived of the Holy Spirit. I still believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. If it wasn't the virgin birth, then he took upon his bloodline, the blood of his father Joseph, his earthly father, and the bloodline was corrupt, and Calvary was in vain, and we're all condemned to hell. But he didn't take on the bloodline of his earthly father Joseph. He took upon himself the bloodline of the darling Lamb of God, which was God incarnated into man. Jesus laying in the manger that night was as much God as God sitting on the throne of glory. Jesus walking on earth that day was as much God as God sitting in heaven. It is the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Simply put, it is Jesus took upon God and brought him to earth is what he does. Now, I want to show you three things about the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. The Bible said this, the Word was made flesh. Why? Why was the Word made flesh? Why did God choose to allow Jesus to leave heaven and come to earth? And can I just say this? There was no other that could do it. Abraham couldn't do it. Matter of fact, when you go to the book of Revelations, they're trying to find somebody worthy enough to open the books. And there's a loud, boisterous angel walking around in heaven that John sees. And he's saying, who's worthy to open the books? Abraham wasn't worthy to. Moses wasn't worthy to. David wasn't worthy to. But he said that he turned to behold a lion, but he saw a lamb as he had been slain. There was nobody else that God could send to the earth to bring divinity and to bring deity to the earth. It had to come through his son Jesus. But why did Jesus come? Why did God come in the form of a man named Jesus? I'll show you three things and we'll go home this morning. Number one, this is Christmas, by the way, Jesus coming. Why did he come? No, number one, can I show you three things? We'll go on. Number one, he came to remove all doubt concerning Old Testament prophecy. He came to remove all doubt concerning Old Testament prophecy. Here's some of it. Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. You know what Isaiah said? Isaiah said there's somebody going to come on the scene one day, and his name is Emmanuel. There's a virgin by the name of Mary that's going to have a baby. And you know what? For years and years and years and years and years, they said somebody's coming. He's going to save his people from their sins. The Old Testament prophets prophesied that Jesus was coming. Watch this. Isaiah chapter number 9 said this. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform thee. You know what they're saying all throughout the Old Testament? A day is coming that Jesus is going to come. He's going to save his people from their sin. What all of the blood of goats and calves, all of the Old Testament things could not do, God's going to send somebody that's going to take care of that. You want me to tell you the reason that Jesus came to this earth? You want me to tell you the reason that God was incarnated into man? Here's the reason why: to prove every bit of the prophecies of the Old Testament true. And can I say this? It did. Jesus really did come. He really was born. He really did die. He really did raise again. He really did ascend back into the heavens. And you know what we've been preaching since then? This man named Jesus, one day it's going to split the eastern skies and it's going to say, come up hither to the child of God. If everything they prophesied in the Old Testament become true, hear me and hear me well. Everything that we're preaching today, I make you a solemn promise. Thank God, one day the eastern skies will split. Those loved ones that we've said goodbye to, that's outrun us in this race, we will see them again if they're saved and we're saved. Why did he come? To prove the Old Testament was true. And I'll just say this to you again and I'll move. If all of that came true, you better bank on it, honey. The rest of it's going to come true. Yeah, man. The rest of, I'm telling you, I'm talking about the tribulation period's going to come true. I'm talking about man's going to seek to die and he's not going to be able to during that time. Boy, I could preach about every bit of that, the coming days, the prophecy of the coming days. But here's what you need to know. God loved you enough that he sent his son. He came to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies and to remove all doubt. There is no doubt Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Not only does the Bible prove it, and that's enough, but history proves it. It's true. Number one, he came to remove all doubt concerning Old Testament prophecy. But number two, why the incarnation of Christ? He came, number two, this morning to reveal God to man. Think about this as the disciples, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but just think about this a minute. As the disciples walked with this man named Jesus, they walked with God. They walked with God. I'm talking about as they walked with Jesus, they walked with the Creator of all the world. I wonder if any of them even thought to look at him, Brother Matt, and say, what was it like the first day of creation? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. You remember what he said right there? He said this, All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus was there on the first day of creation, on the second day, the third day. He was there from the beginning. He'll always be there. He is God. He came to earth to reveal to man who God is. Man, they walked with God. They sat with God. They listened to God preach. They listened to God pray. Three of them, and I'll say more about this in just a minute, watched God get transformed into His glory on the Mountain of Transfiguration. Why was the incarnation of Jesus important? So that He could reveal God to mankind. Think about this, being made flesh, the Word could reveal God to mankind as never before. Hebrews said this, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Listen to what He said in John 1:18. And let me just back up and say something right there. God don't speak through dreams. Said, preacher, I went to sleep. Boy, while I was asleep, I saw Peter and I saw James and I saw Daddy walking with him, and I think I was there too. What does that mean? That means you probably went to Liz's taco stand about midnight the night before you had all those dreams. God don't speak to us through dreams today. Let me tell you what He does. He sent His Son to reveal God to mankind. He speaks to us through His Son today. You said, preacher, I think that I need to do this or I need to do that, and I had a dream and it said do it. You better get in the Word of God. You better pray. You better beg God to show you something through His book that is Him. Watch this. He said this in John 1:18. The only begotten Son, which is the bosom of the Father, He the Son hath declared Him the Father. Amen. God prioritized our knowing Him, sending His Son to earth, incarnated in human form to reveal Himself, to tell us how important it is to God that we know Him. The incarnate Christ is the answer to the question of what is God like? Study the life of Christ and you'll see what God is. Amen. Think about this. The Lord displayed the power of God. Nicodemus said this in John 3, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He displayed the power of God. He displayed the wisdom of God. The Bible said in John 7, never a man spake like this man. He displayed the glory of God. In Colossians 4, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ. He displayed the very glory of God. Hear me and hear me well. The Bible tells us that God is no respecter of person. So if Peter, James, and John was able to see the very glory of God and experience the glory of God and the manifestation of His presence, thank God today you and I can experience the presence of God and the glory of God. Why? Through His Son, Jesus. He came to reveal God to us. He came to display, yes, the wisdom of God and the power of God and the glory of God. But can I say this? He came to display the love of God to us. The very love of God can be seen in the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter number 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you want to know what God is, look at John 3:16. God is love today. Amen. Think about this. He come to display the love of God. What did He say in Romans 5:8? But God commendeth His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What did He say in 1 John 3:16? Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. 1 John 4:10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for us. our sin. We didn't love God. We could care less about God. It was not in our human flesh to love God, but he sent his son. Amen. The Old Testament said he'd come. He came, and let me tell you what his son done. His son revealed God to us. He revealed the love of God to us. God loved us so much that he was willing to allow his only begotten son to leave the very portals of glory and come to earth and take upon himself the form of man and allow the sin of this world to be placed upon him. Oh, yes, he came to reveal God to us. Preacher, what's God like? That's what God's like. That's what God... Well, preacher, I don't understand how a God that you're preaching about this morning has got so much love, but he sends people to hell. He don't send people to hell. The only people that God's ever sent to hell was angelic beings, and it was Satan and that crowd that followed him out of heaven that day. But God has never sent an individual with a soul to hell. Man chooses to reject God. He chooses to reject the Word. He chooses to reject the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you choose to reject the love of God, then you choose the judgment of God. You choose yourself to go to hell. You choose yourself to disobey God. It's not God doing it. It's you doing it. The problem is this today, and I'm going to move, but the problem is this today. We live in a society that don't want to accept personal responsibility. Everything's always somebody else's fault. I was picking with Miss Michelle this morning about that very thing. It's Eve syndrome. It started, we can trace it all the way back to Genesis chapter number 6. Or Genesis chapter number 3, it's Eve syndrome. Somebody else done it. Somebody else done it. The reason I'm in the mess I'm in is because somebody else. No, probably the reason you're in the mess you're in, it's because of decisions you made. Amen. God don't send nobody to hell. God loved you so much that he was willing to allow his son to come here to earth and to take upon himself the form of the man and to die for your sins and for my sins. Why the incarnation of the Lord Jesus? Why did Jesus come? He came to remove all doubt concerning Old Testament prophecy. He come to reveal God to men, but I preached all morning to get right here and give me about 2 hours and I'll be done. Why did Jesus come? He come to remove the doubt of the Old Testament prophecy. He come to reveal what God is to man. But number three, he came to redeem man back to God. Jesus, oh yes, Jesus came to redeem man back to God. The main reason for the incarnation, for the Word being made flesh, the main reason can be summed up in one word: redemption. Redemption. I should have got more than one amen on that. Redemption. That's why Jesus came. That's the reason he took upon himself the form of a man. That's the reason he went to Calvary. All because of redemption. Listen to what the Bible says. Is it all right just to give you some Bible verses this morning? Listen to what the Bible said. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That's what he said in Galatians. Here's what he said in 1 Timothy. Paul said this: Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Here's what he said in Matthew chapter number 1. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. That's why Jesus came. Jesus come so you could be reconciled back to God. Why was man created in the first place? Let me tell you the reason man was created in the first place. Have fellowship with God. God made you and me to talk to. You say, I'm trying to figure out what my purpose in life is. Talk to God. That's your purpose. That's why you've been created. Well, boy, it's everybody looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Study Genesis, man. Take it all the way back to the beginning. God didn't create Adam so he could go be a millionaire, and there's nothing wrong with that. Got an extra million, give it to us. We owe $450,000 on the church. We'll pay it off and praise God, send the rest of the mission field. But watch this. He created man so he could fellowship with him. You know what man done? Man sinned. Eve messed up. Man messed up. Adam and Eve messed up for all of us. We all messed up because of them. I'm not passing blame. That's facts, man. That's truth. We all messed up because of Adam and Eve. She wants to blame it on us. Bless God, we're going to blame it on her. And you know what God said? Boy, I want to walk with man in the cool of the day. But there's a problem now. Sin is between us and God. God said, I love mankind so much. I love them so much. I want to talk to them so much. I want to walk with them so much. I want to fellowship with them so much. I will let my own son be put to death. Be beat with a cat of nine tails. Read Psalms 22 when you get home. I read it again this morning. His bones stared at him. His bowels gushed from within. You couldn't even recognize that he was even a man. And you may say the reason he done that. Here's the reason he done that. To redeem us back to God. The incarnation was necessary so Christ could be the, according to 1 Timothy 2, mediator between God and man. Between God and man. All the Old Testament sacrifices for sin simply looked ahead to the slaying of the Lamb of God. The incarnate Word. Had the Word not been made flesh, there would be no redemption for the lost sinner. Can I just say that again? Had the Word not been made flesh, there'd be no redemption. Listen to this. Miss Tanya, come start playing soft. Here's what the Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 9. All right, just to give you some Bible verses. Here's what he said in Hebrews chapter number 9. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkled of the unclean sanctify unto the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they are all called, might receive, they which are called might receive the promise of an eternal heritance. You know what he's saying? He's saying all that blood of the calves and God, it didn't do one bit of good. But this man, the incarnate Christ, here's what he said. Let me read you some more verses. Go to Hebrews chapter number 10. Here's what he said in chapter number 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and it did, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, that Old Testament, there was a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and in sacrifices for sin, thou hast made no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the books it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not. neither hast thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, this is Jesus, lo, I come to do the will of God. He taketh away the first, that he might establish the second. Listen to this. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering of, oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sin. But this man, why did he come? But this man sat down at the right hand of God. Listen to what the Bible said. 1 Peter chapter number 1. You said, preacher, this is boring. Then the Bible's boring. 1 Peter chapter number 1 said this. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Before the foundation of the world, guess who was already there? Jesus was already there, who foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. You know what he's saying? Here's what he's saying. All throughout the Old Testament, they made sacrifice year after year after year after year. But they kept saying, somebody's coming one day that's going to be the ultimate sacrifice and take away the sins of the world. And thank God that night in Bethlehem's manger, it was not just some little boy that was laying there, but it was God incarnated into man. And the reason he come was to fulfill that Old Testament prophecy and to prove it right, was to reveal God to you and me. Oh, but most importantly, here's the reason that he came. It was to redeem you back to God. It was to reconcile you back to God. It was so that you and God could walk together and fellowship together. But most importantly, it was this right here. It was so you don't have to die and go to devil's hell. God loved you enough that he allowed his son to be born and to die for your sins. Hear me and hear me well. If you go to hell, you'll go stepping over the blood of Jesus. You'll go stepping over Calvary. You'll go stepping over the preaching of God's word. You'll go stepping over the drawing of the Holy Ghost of God. But Jesus came so you don't have to go. That's the reason Jesus came. It's so you, through his blood, could have access. Man, I'm telling you, I could preach another hour on this. I'm not even scratched the surface. So you can have access back to God. I want to ask you this question. Do you know him? Are you saved? Say, preacher, you just don't understand where I've been. You don't understand what I've done. I understand what Paul said. I just read it to you. He said that Christ came in 1 Timothy. He said that Christ came in the world to save sinners, of who I am chief. Paul said, I'm the worst of any, and God saved me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Here's what he said. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He didn't put no stipulation on that. He didn't say, for whosoever, as long as they've not done this. He said, for whosoever. I was listening to one of my good friends, Brother Kevin Broyhill, this week. I love Brother Broyhill. And he said, I remember the day, Brother Tom's neighbor, he said, I remember the day that Kevin got placed into whosoever. For if Kevin shall call upon the name of the Lord, Kevin shall be saved. For if Zeb shall call upon the name of the Lord, Zeb shall be saved. For if Jonathan shall call upon the name of the Lord, Jonathan shall be saved. It don't matter what you've done. He came to reconcile you back to fellowship. Father is...